They need to worry and betray time with urgencies, false and otherwise. Purely anxious and whiny, their souls won't really be at peace unless they can latch onto an established and proven worry, and having once found it, they assume facial expressions to fit and go with it, which is, you see, unhappiness. And all the time, it flies by them, and they know it, and that too worries them no end. And it was said by Jack Kerouac. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And it's remarkable, folks, the false worries that we do create for ourselves in an effort to betray time with false urgencies, and all the time, time flies by us and our life is suddenly over. And that also worries us to the extreme. And yet we have spent most of our life immersed in false urgencies, which have very often prevented us from ever truly experiencing ourselves. And the reason we don't really experience ourselves, folks, is because we're very often too busy attempting to live up to the false expectations we have of ourselves. And the reason I name these expectations as false expectations is because very often that's exactly what they are, simply because very often the expectations we have of ourselves are based in fantasy. And I've done shows about this recently where I've spoken about how our imagination has been hijacked and replaced with fantasy. We are given parameters within society and social goals to achieve, which are essentially unachievable. Well, unachievable to the degree that we believe them to be achievable. And the metaphor I use for this is that things always look better on the box, yet when you buy the product and take it home, it's never what you expected it to be. It's the same with our goals, the goals that we set ourselves within these social parameters. We're given this television sort of version of reality, and we're told that this is what we should aspire to be. And if we achieve these certain rungs in the social ladder, then we will be deemed successful. And all the while, we're taught to externalize our own power and externalize what it means to be successful, and we're taught to externalize everything of worth about ourselves. Essentially, it's a method of externalizing our personality, whereby we judge our personality and our personal worth on the possessions that we have around us. When really, it's just stuff. It's nothing really to do with who and what you are. It's just stuff that very often prevents you from discovering who and what you are. And it's people's inability to find this truth within themselves and to find who and what they are, which has allowed the world to degrade to the point that we currently find it in today. It's this lack of self-discovery within people which has very much been responsible for the loss of rights and the corporate takeover, if you will, that our planet has suffered for quite a long time and very much more so over recent decades. And this really is true, folks, because if you look at how this system has been gradually imposed upon us, it's true that it has happened because people have lost connection with themselves. And there's a very important clue in that, and a very, very simple path to remedy should people really choose to step back and look at the situation for what it really is. And unfortunately, that's something that I find in many of the movements and even in the alternative research movement and in many of the areas that I see where people are standing up against the system, they're still not stepping back far enough and really viewing things for what they are. And most people are simply focusing on a symptom, thereby providing a compartmentalized response to what is essentially a singular problem. Now, I've often suggested to you that the best way to deal with the system that we find ourselves enslaved to is to step above it, to realize what the legal system is and to understand the difference between that which is legal and that which is lawful, and to seek remedy from higher sources than what we are provided within the parameters of the system. And what I'm essentially saying, folks, and I've said this many times, but what I'm essentially saying is that we made this whole system up. It's all fiction. The whole thing is fiction. It's all legal fiction. Essentially, it's fictions within fictions. It's even like fractals, because you have the society, which itself is a fiction. The whole understanding of how reality works that we're given within the parameters of our society is fiction. And within that fiction, we have this fictional system of government and this fictional legal system within that. And ultimately, it's all fiction, because the people within government are simply public trustees. And I've said this to you so many times before, folks, that it isn't until we look at things from their truest perspective that we will ever find remedy. And we have to understand that these people whom we call government simply are public trustees. That's all they are. And that the remedy to dealing with the rules that they impose upon us is for us to know who we are. And I've said this so many times on the show that when you look at their system, it goes in the order that God created man and gave man dominion over the earth, and then we created everything else. And that's basically the way it works. And all you really have to do is remember that. And that sounds really simplistic, but it's true. It's just intimidating sometimes. You try to use that when you go up against the system, and you get a little bit intimidated because you're in their court, and it throws your energy. It really does. It puts you in a very, very uncomfortable energetic state, and that's why they like to take you into their court. But what you've got to understand is that what you're dealing with, if you ever go to court, are people. They're just people. When you're dealing with police officers, they're just people. They trick you. They railroad you. They do terrible things to the population because they can, because the people allow them to. But they only really get away with this because the people are kept divided through what is essentially social and economic pathogens, and because the people are tricked into believing that the system is real. But it's not. It's just rules that exist in a book. It's just a paper-based reality. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. It's a trick, you see. It's word magic. And they train you into believing that the system is real. They indoctrinate you through the education system into believing that the system is real, into never questioning authority, and not ever really understanding how reality works or what this society or its legal parameters are. And don't get me wrong here, folks. I'm not saying we don't need rules. Sure, we need rules to stop violent people doing violent things, but we don't need public trustees milking us of our wealth and impoverishing the people of the world and stealing all the resources and locking each country down into a police state run by them. We don't need that. And I believe that the method that we can use in bringing remedy to this situation is to understand what the system is, because essentially it's just fiction. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. It's a trick. And they trick you into believing that you need to be judged by the laws of your peers and all this sort of stuff. But ultimately, folks, you have no peers. You're completely unique. And you can establish this within their own legal system, that you are completely unique. Simply ask them if you can be identified by your fingerprints or by your DNA. And if they say yes, then say, well, then you're unique and have no peers. Therefore, you're not part of the general population. You are a completely unique expression of sentience inhabiting the vessel granted to you by creation for the experience. And therefore, you have no peers. You're not part of the general population, and so you are not part of the general legal system. And therefore, you are standing in their court in the capacity of sui generis. And if they wish to establish claim over you, then you need to see a contract bearing the wet ink signature of your creator, which granted them jurisdiction over you. And if they cannot provide that, you could then question them whether they are part of a slavery system, which I believe would be illegal under their legal system, would it not? And so, you see, it's just the way you look at things, folks. And the point is that when the whole community is armed with this type of understanding and they put it into practice because they can, because they are empowered, and because they respect each other and are willing to stand by each other, because they can see that there is a fraud and a slavery system which is being perpetrated against them, which is being used to milk them of their wealth through taxes and all of the corrupt legal system that's imposed upon us, then perhaps we will get some results within our community. But the problem that we're facing, folks, is that with all the problems that we have within our community and within our system, what we are always attempting to do is to search for legal remedies within the system by using its own parameters. But the legal system was created by the system not to provide legal grounds for us to do things, not to provide protection for us, but to provide protection for the system. And the way to address the problems of the system will never be found within that legal system. And the only way we will ever actually be able to address these problems is by understanding that the legal system is simply fiction that was created by the system, but the system was created by us, and in fact it was created by public trustees, whom we, as people, living entities, appointed to positions to manage our infrastructure for us. And all these people have done is create laws, create wars, impoverish the people of their nations, and steal the wealth of the nations and transfer it usually into foreign hands, although a good deal of it does also go into their pockets. Look at Australia here. We have De Führer Frau Gillard, happens to be the highest paid world leader at the moment. She has given herself raises to the point where she is now the highest paid world leader on the planet. She receives more money per year than President Obama, I believe, probably because she's done such a good job in imposing this slavery system in Australia and keeping the Australian people in line. The Australian people, unfortunately, folks, are very apathetic. They still believe they are really lucky and really happy. And we get told that Australia is the happiest population on earth. They're the most complacent population on earth, folks. They've got the most fluoride in the water, and so they're some of the most locked down and disconnected people in the world, unfortunately. I mean, it pains me to have to say that, being that they are my countrymen, but unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And they don't really care about their servitude because they can't see that it's there. That is why Australians are so happy. Plus, they're given plenty of space to move around in as well. It's much more open than anything you'd find in England or Europe or even America. It's more like free-range slaves over here. But I'm probably going off on a bit of a tangent here. But anyway, the thing is, we can see the system for what it is. The question is, what do we do about the system? Well, I firmly believe that this will come through discourse. Shows such as this, you out there who listens to these shows, if you can grasp the concept of what I've been saying and how this system works and what you are, then you can start demonstrating this to the people around you, and we can create these grassroots ripples. This is how it has to happen. And it will happen because the more people are becoming disgruntled and disconnected and discarded by the system, and the more people are getting caught within its grasp, the more people are suffering, and the more people are looking for a way out, the more people are seeing the claws that actually hold them, and they're looking for a way out. And the problem is that there are a lot of people out there who are screaming out fear about the situation that we're in, and it is a situation of concern. Let's make no mistake about that. There is cause for concern. But the main cause for concern is the fact that the people are not really awake to the problem, and when they do wake up to the problem, they move straight into fear. Whereas I see the problem is really opportunity, because what we have here is an opportunity to really discover who we are and to really step back and look at the system for what it is. And it's very clever, folks. You see, they've created a whole system based basically in word magic, and it's a mirror image of what reality is supposed to be. I've spoken about this many times recently on the shows as well, that what we're given by this system is a mirror image of reality. And the concept of what is lawful and what is legal is a very good explanation of this. I've spoken about that very much as well, how law is actually designed to empower you and to free you and protect you. This is natural law, common law, or even common law is a construct, but natural law, God's law, the law of creation, whatever you perceive you're created to be, natural law, well, natural law is do no harm, and if everybody did no harm, then everybody would be fine. But what we have with the legal system is a system that does harm to the population by imposing all sorts of stringent regulations over the population, which prevents them from ever truly functioning as a normal human being, and puts them in a little invisible cage and draws invisible lines around them and tells them not to step across the lines, and then imposes hardship upon them if they do. That's what the legal system is. And it's presented to you in such a way as to say, this is a system that we've created to protect you against crime. But it is the system itself which has created the crime via the mechanism of imposing a system of commerce over the minds of the people. And there's so much information out there about this particular commercial system that we use, the commercial money system that we're enslaved to, that I don't even need to speak about that. There are so many other better ways of doing things than what we currently have that it just beggars belief that we're using this system. And people really need to look at this and see it for what it is, because the system of commercial slavery that's inflicted upon us is the sole cause of pretty well all of the crime that we see on the planet, because it's the system itself which is designed to keep people in scarcity and reduce everything about the human experience to commerce. I mean, of course, there are crimes of passion. There are enraged lovers and there are psychopaths who do bad things. So not all crime is due to a commercial system, but all crime that's based in scarcity, all theft and the scarcity, and basically all the social division that we see in our society is a direct result of this commercial system. So there are certainly much better ways of doing things. So again, folks, it comes back to how do we deal with this problem? Well, I really believe that because the system is now exposing itself so much, like I said, the best way we can deal with the problem is to disseminate information amongst people, talk to people about this, but you've got to do it in a respectful manner. I've been saying so often lately that you've got to stop judging the people around you, because no one's been given an even playing field. We've just suddenly realized what we've been swimming in generally as a race. We've just realized this, you know. Human consciousness is just waking up now. It hasn't even really opened its eyes yet, but it's just waking up from its slumber. And so you can't blame human consciousness for the bad dream that it's been suffering, because it's been asleep. The people have been asleep. They have never been given an even playing field in anything that they have done. Nowhere on the planet have we been given an even playing field, folks. And it's been a nightmare. People have been forced to do things that are completely inhuman and completely against natural human nature. I believe that we're very nurturing, caring creatures by default. That's the way I believe we are. And I just look to disasters to see evidence of this. When we have a situation where people are in trouble, it's remarkable how much effort people will go to help those around them and to give and support those around them suffering in a state of hardship when crisis or disaster strikes. But by the same token, through the social pathogen that infects us, we don't see this disaster when we look at the world from an economic perspective. When we base our lives around commerce, we don't see the hardship of another person, economic hardship. We don't see this as hardship. We only see hardship if it's a disaster, if it's a natural disaster. But if it's an economic disaster, if suddenly someone has lost their house and they've become homeless due to parameters and rules and a system of commercial slavery that was imposed upon them by a corrupt banking system, very often the neighbours will turn the other cheek. They'll turn away. They won't reach out their helping hand. They won't offer them the hand up because they're infected by this economic pathogen, this need to collect more money because they're scared one day they may fall off. And they're taught to fear the poor. People have very much been taught to fear those who are in a state of economic crisis. But yet our natural reaction would be to help these people in any other state of crisis, were it a natural disaster, were it a flood, were it a volcano, were it a car accident, were it anything. We would reach out our hand to these people. But in a situation of economic crisis, we don't do so. And it's a very interesting aspect of our psyche. And really, it's due to what I refer to as the economic and social pathogens, which quite literally create a very, very huge part of the matrix that we believe to be our society. And don't get me wrong here. I mean, a lot of people will reach out and give charity to others when it's needed. But what I'm saying here is, you know, we won't bring these people in and build them a house or let them move in. Very often we see rich people who own vast tracts of land, yet they won't allow homeless people to build shelters or to stay on their land, but they're not using it. So we've got this kind of a situation generally where we have this fear of those in economic hardship. But yet in a crisis, our natural reaction is to help people. So the question I'm posing here is, why don't we view an economic crisis the same as any other crisis? And the reason we don't is because of this social pathogen, because we've been taught to always measure ourselves and to measure other people by which rungs they've achieved on the social ladder. And this, of course, is done by judging the people and externalizing the people that you come into contact with, externalizing their personality into what they own. And what they own becomes the person. Oh, let's go and visit this guy. He has a nice pool. He has a nice car. I love his stereo, whatever. It's not the person that we go to see. It's what the person can do for us. Generally speaking, this is the way our social structure works, folks. I'm not saying all people are like this. I'm very much generalizing here. I do not wish to make a blanket statement. But that's generally the way our society functions. It's very much about self-gain, and it's very much an externalization of people's personalities. And we never really seem to know the people themselves. It's all about the stuff, and very often people judge themselves and their own worth based on their stuff. How cool they are, whether they have the latest fashions or the latest clothes or the latest gadgets, or whether they got more stuff than you, or the latest model car, or whether they own land or don't, or whatever. It's usually about stuff. And this is what I refer to as the social pathogen, and it is the need to support this social pathogen and live up to the insane standards that it sets for us, which causes us to follow the path of the economic pathogen and causes us to reduce our life experience to commerce. And this is a very, very clever ploy that is used to dispossess and impoverish the people. Because like I've said on several shows as well, you can't actually own any of the earth, and you can't really ever control the earth until you can trick the other people of the world into believing that they own it. Because when you can trick people into believing that they own part of the planet and you can enslave them to an economic model that's designed to crash, then eventually what they believe they own will transfer into your hands, and then they will believe that you own it. When really nobody can own the earth. Nobody owns any part of the earth, folks. The earth actually owns us. And we are merely the custodians of the abundance that it provides for us. But we don't live in a state of abundance, which is our natural state, because we have had this corporate model superimposed over us. And again, folks, we see a mirroring of reality, because we should be living in a state of abundance, but we've been tricked into always pursuing a state of prosperity. But of course, prosperity can only be achieved via the pursuit of commercial goals and financial security. This is prosperity, to prosper. Whereas what we should be doing is living in our natural state of abundance, because if everything was free and abundantly available for us as it should be, were it not for the corporate model, then there would be no need to be prosperous, or to even think of things from that perspective. The perspective of prosperity is again a mirror, and it is an imitation of reality, dependent upon an economic model. And if you look, folks, you soon see that this is truly the way it is with virtually every aspect of this society. What we have are systems that are put in place that look good on the surface, but they actually have a reverse meaning to what they should. Even our organizations, folks, we look at the World Health Organization. What it does is it controls world health. That doesn't mean it ensures people are healthy. It controls the state of world health, and it actually ensures that people are kept very unhealthy. You look at the free trade situations that we set up everywhere. Free trade does not mean that everybody is free to just trade their goods. What it means is that everybody is enslaved to a corporate economic model. It means that a system has been put in place whereby corporations are free to rape your country via the mechanism of trade. That's how it works. You look at the United Nations. The United Nations isn't the United Nations. It isn't an equal voice to every country on earth. It's a dictatorship, because it's a situation where all the countries join and they're recognized as countries and they all get a vote. But then every decision is actually made and decided by the United States and Israel, because the United States and Israel have the power to veto any decisions that are made by the Council. And if any of the member nations ever attempt to exercise such powers of self-determination, then the United States or Israel will put sanctions against them or go and bomb them. So, again, folks, it isn't a United Nations at all. It's a united dictatorship, is what it is, whereby a small band of dictators have managed to unite the rest of the planet under their rule. That's what the United Nations is. And it certainly doesn't do anything to promote world peace, because all we have seen since the formation of the United Nations is a state of perpetual war. But essentially, folks, what I'm saying here is you just can't believe anything the government tells you. You can't believe anything the mainstream media tells you. And really what you have to do, as uncomfortable as it may be to realize, is look at everything they say from the reverse meaning. And to clearly understand that when the government or the mainstream media claim a certain thing to be factual, then you can be guaranteed that the actual truth lies very much in the opposite direction. Because unfortunately, all these people do is lie, my friends. Now, yes, it's kind of uncomfortable to admit this, but unfortunately, it is the truth. Because when you look at the global situation, well, there's no other explanation, folks. And all you have to do is understand how the system works and what sort of system is imposed upon you, why you're in a state of permanent debt, why the world is in the state that it's in, and it becomes very, very apparent that these people have been lying through their teeth, and they've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of years. But now, I think the world is waking up, and the paradigm is indeed shifting. But I think we've reached break time, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so it's like this, folks. I mean, I've been coming on the air and I've been talking to you about all this sort of a situation for 6 years now. We've been discussing the finer points of the legal system. We've been discussing the concept of trust and trust law. I've been attempting to point out to people the power that we actually hold. And I've attempted to show people that the only way the system is going to be reined in is by us. It's not going to ever be done by politicians. It's not ever going to be done by operating within the parameters of the legal system. So that's the bottom line, folks. I mean, really, that's the bottom line. What exists between ourselves and government is a trust agreement. I don't know how much more simple I can say this, but that's what your relationship with government is. It's a trust agreement. That's all these people are public trustees. The rules they write in books are simply rules written in books. They don't mean anything. They're not law. They're legislation that is masquerading as law. And the only way we are ever going to fix the situation that we're facing and to bring the world back onto the correct path and the people back onto the correct path is to take control of the situation ourselves. And we are only going to be able to do this through the power of a united community, which we are only going to be able to achieve once we learn to respect ourselves and respect those people around us. I mean, that's it. That's the bottom line. We could fix the world in one day if we decided to act. If we simply put down our differences, because they're all fictional. You can't judge people by what they've done because nobody's been given an even playing field. And we simply turned to address the problem. We've got to understand that we're operating within a fictional system here. We're quite literally living in a matrix, folks. And you've got to understand that the politicians are not working for us. They are not working for the good of the country. They are not working for the good of the people. We've got stuff going on in Australia here, which is outrageous. They're calling for the sterilization of certain children. And people have got to explain if they don't want to vaccinate their children. They've got to jump through several hoops and fill out all these forms and all this rubbish just to claim an exemption from vaccinating their children. And if they don't do this, then their children will be ostracized by society. They won't be allowed to go to the schools, which is probably a good thing, because the schools are simply indoctrination systems anyway. But look, the point is, folks, we've got a government here that is so utterly corrupt. Der Führer, Frau Gillard, is a total psychotic lunatic. She's a sociopath with aspirations of dictatorship, and the human gene pool would be vastly improved had this woman been drowned at birth. That's what we're facing in this country. And she's even admitted that she's a public trustee, and yet the people still have not acted. She openly stated in a statement she made to the mining companies in 2012 that she is a public trustee. So we have the ability to fix this problem if we decide to act, and we could do this if we would just put down our stuff with each other. You know, it's a very, very clever system, folks. It's been designed specifically to divide the people by the implementation of what I refer to as the three pathogens, the economic pathogen, the social pathogen, the religious pathogen. And we have the ability to fix it if we could simply step back and look at things as a whole and respect each other. You know, folks, I don't know anybody that I've actually got a problem with. I don't know anybody that I dislike. I mean, even Julia Gillard, I can look at her and I can say she's a psychotic lunatic, she's a sociopath. But that's simply a statement of observation based on her actions. It doesn't mean I dislike her. I actually feel sorry for her. I don't like what she's doing. But her, in general, I mean, I don't want to hurt her. I just want her to go away and stop trying to ruin other people's lives because she's a psychopath. She shouldn't be doing what she's doing. But it doesn't mean I dislike her. I just don't know anybody that I actually dislike or that I actually have stuff with. Now, speaking out against someone's actions is a different thing to actually hating them or spreading hatred about them. There are many people who dislike me, apparently. I mean, there's people like Ed Sheeraney, Dallas Goldbug. I mean, I find the lies that he has told about me to be quite offensive, and I'd like to confront him on them, but I don't hate him for doing that. I just don't hate him. I just think he's an idiot. He's a moron. He's disconnected. There's a would-be cult leader here in Australia who's trying to set up a commune and get people to buy into his land while not handling any money himself, of course. His wife does all the finances because he's not allowed to have money touch his hands. And he's got whole articles and videos of hatred about me on his website. Well, so I'm told anyway. I mean, I don't know. I haven't actually watched or read any of it, but I don't hate him either. I mean, he's just disconnected, the poor guy. I feel quite sorry for him. He's probably even got a good heart inside, but he's just running programs and he doesn't know it. So you can't judge people for what they do, folks. I mean, people are caught within this matrix and they're running programs. We've got to put all of that stuff aside and we've got to start respecting each other and uniting as a community and standing up to address the problem of our out-of-control public trustees, because we're the only ones who can do it. And this is the message that I've been attempting to convey to you for 6 years now. I mean, I've been really calmly, quietly saying the same thing in as many different ways as I can think of. I've been attempting to help people understand how reality works, what their connection to reality is, and to exercise the power that they have to bring about positive change. Because we all have the power to do this, folks. In every single country on the planet, we have the power to do this, but it can only be done through a united community, which can only be done once we respect each other. And I just don't know what the problem is. I don't know why people can't have this respect for each other. I don't understand how people have stuff with each other. I mean, they only do because they're programmed to have it. They only do because they don't understand how reality works. Because when you understand how it works, the stuff falls away. It just falls away. You know, I have so much faith in the human race to be able to fix this problem. I have so much faith in mankind. I really do. If I didn't have the faith in everybody out there to really be able to grasp the stuff that I'm bringing to you and be able to bring about positive change, then I wouldn't do the radio shows. I wouldn't have made any of the films. I wouldn't have done anything that I've done if I didn't have this enormous faith in people to be able to wake up to themselves. And it pains me to see the world getting worse all the time. It pains me to see the wars. It pains me to see such corrupt pieces of legislation being brought in by public trustees. It pains me to see the people going along with it and the hardship they suffer due to their failure to see that the system is fiction. It hurts my heart. It hurts my soul to see this. It just does. And that's why I do what I do. And it upsets me sometimes to think that it's going to have to get worse and people are going to have to suffer more before they wake up. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people that don't make it. There's going to be a lot of people that don't make it through the machine. There'll be people that probably even go down that path. And the psychopaths who run the world are deeply embedded in their positions, and they are not going to give up their positions very easily. And this is why we need the strength of community. We need the strength of ourselves. And we're only going to find that by understanding how reality works and really stepping back and looking at things from a different perspective, folks. We've got to shift the paradigm. I mean, what other choice do we have? The other choice is to simply step back, not worry about it, enjoy your life, get on with things, and allow the world to go to hell, because that's what it's doing. It's quite literally being destroyed around us. And what's really being destroyed is ourselves. We're destroying our habitat. I mean, the earth will go on no matter what we do, even if we kill ourselves and kill all life on the planet. The earth will still go on. The earth knows what it's doing, and it has its own plans, and it can either bring us with it or it can leave us behind. We somehow think that our actions are going to affect the fate of the earth, but it's really not that way at all. Our actions only really affect the fate of life on earth. They affect us more than anything. Of course, they also affect the other animals, the environment, the beautiful, beautiful planet that we live on. It's such a beautiful planet, folks. It's so beautiful. Everywhere you look, it is just beautiful. I mean, you look at a sunset, you look at a flower, you just look at a meadow, a tree, a bubbling brook. You can look at a storm, a violent lightning storm, and it is so beautiful. A volcano. It's beautiful. Everything about this planet is incredible, folks, and we are destroying it all, and we are destroying the garden that has been provided for us by creation, by our enslavement to an economic model and our enslavement to a pathogenic system, a psychopathic system. And we have allowed psychopaths to reach positions of prominence in all of our countries. Folks, if they're in a position of power, they're a psychopath, because otherwise they wouldn't even want to be there. They wouldn't want to have that sort of power. You know, you out there listening to this show today, would you want to be in a position where you control other people? Why would you want to do that? I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. I want people to be able to control themselves. I want to turn the earth back into a garden like it should be. I don't want to see ugliness everywhere. And that's really what it is, folks. It's ugliness. Because control of other people is ugly. Control of the environment is ugly. You know, factories and black smoke and starving people, and it's ugly. It's all ugly, folks. Corruption is ugly. And everything natural about this earth is beautiful. Look into the eyes of another human being. They're beautiful. Look into the eyes of a child. They're beautiful. The eyes of a dog. Look into the eyes of any living creature. They're beautiful. But it's almost like this beauty is infected with the madness of the current state of human consciousness. And that's what it is, folks. It's a madness. We're living in a completely insane society that's continuing because people are just caught in these programs. And people are perpetuating stuff with each other. And almost everybody has people that they have stuff with. You know, it's an energetic reality, folks, and we all feed the field around us. You are interacting with reality all the time via the electromagnetic vibrations that are set up from your heart. I spoke about this in my film, The Awakening, back in, I can't remember when I made it, it was 2010 or 2011. The way we generate an electromagnetic field with our heart, we do this all the time through our intention, through our emotional state, through our deepest intentions, folks. I mean, what are your deepest intentions in your actions? What are the deepest intentions of people who post pages of hatred about others? What are the deepest intentions of the people who are so out to debunk anybody they can find? What are the intentions of these people? Is it to do good for the world? Is that their deepest intention? Because spreading hatred about people and attacking people is not doing good, is not solving the problem. It can't solve the problem. Problems need to be solved by direct action. I mean, even, like I said, with Julia Gillard, I can say what I'm saying about Julia Gillard simply because it's true. But I don't hate her for it, and I speak out against her because the other choice I have is to allow the world to turn to hell, because she's one of the people who's doing it. She's only doing that because she's a psychopath, and psychopaths have no empathy. I can't judge her for her action. She's born without empathy. She's born a psychopath. And I can't judge her for that. I can feel sorry for her for that. But that doesn't mean I can allow her to continue doing what she's doing. So that's why I'll speak out. But, you know, I'm not going to start making videos about how she's this or how she's that or whatever. I mean, it doesn't serve any purpose to do that. That's just putting bad energy into the field. And look, I'm probably going right off topic here, folks, but what I'm trying to say is that we have a choice here. We're at a crossroads and we have to make a decision. And the two choices that we've got are, one, to step into our power and to put humanity back onto the right track, or two, to allow the world to turn to hell and allow our children to be born into basically what is going to be a prison system, full of a genetically modified population. That's the two choices that we have. And personally, I don't think that it's even something that anybody sane would have to think about, because that's the choice. I mean, what do you want, folks? Do you want to have a free world and a place of abundance, or do you want to have a prison system? Because if we fail to act, then that's what we're going to have. And the environmental people, the people that are out there so worried about the environment, don't worry about the environment, folks, because the earth is fine. The earth will be fine with or without us. It doesn't matter. It isn't the environment that's suffering. It's us that's suffering. We are the ones who suffer from the destruction of the environment. The earth doesn't suffer. The earth will go on. We are the ones who are suffering because of what we are doing to our habitat. That's the difference, folks. It's just a different way of looking at it. I mean, yeah, I think, sure, we should protect the environment. We should stop coal seam gas mining and stop all the stuff that they're doing, but we're approaching it from the wrong way. We're approaching it from the wrong direction. We're approaching it from an environmental perspective, when really we should be looking at it from a more human perspective, because we need to understand that we are the ones that are suffering from our actions. The earth isn't suffering. The earth is fine. The earth doesn't share our concerns for what we are doing to our habitat. And what we have to realize is that the only way anything is ever going to change is when people discover their own power and decide to step into it and decide to take action. And this is why I've pushed this same message for so long, folks. This is why I've really attempted to empower the people who listen to this show. Because that's what it's all about, folks. It's all about self-empowerment. It really is. You've got to break down this division. You've got to stop having stuff with people. We have to stand up and pay attention to what our public trustees are doing, and we have to rein this system in. And that's only going to come from a united community. And so that's what I've been attempting to help people understand. As I said, folks, I have an enormous amount of faith in mankind. I really believe we can get through this, folks. I really do. I think that it's an incredibly exciting time to be alive, because what we are witnessing here is truly the birth of freedom on this planet. It's a time in history that is unlike any other time. I mean, I suppose you could say that about every time in history. Every sort of moment is unlike any other moment, but now we've got everything here at our fingertips. Now the world has finally been made smaller, and we are all able to see each other as a whole. We are all able to be like a global community. And that's what we need, folks, is a global community, not a global nation, not a global government, not a global economic model, but a global community of real people who respect each other, regardless of borders, regardless of ethnicity. It doesn't matter. It's all fiction. All of these borders are just lines on maps. They don't mean anything. Patriotism is rubbish. It's just ridiculous. It's not who you are. Who you are is an experience of consciousness. That's who you are. And what you do with that consciousness is what's important. What you do with your time here is what's important. And we have the possibility of doing so much, folks. And if we could create a society that would nurture the human creative spirit, we would be able to achieve the most incredible goals. We would be able to do the most amazing things if we simply put our differences aside and started nurturing each other, getting back to what we're supposed to be, folks, because we are naturally nurturing, caring creatures. I mean, I really believe that that's what we are. If left to our own devices, that's what we would become. I mean, sure, there's always going to be rough spots and rough patches, and there's always going to be people that try to get in the way, but that's okay. We can deal with those things as they come. But I think that we have an opportunity here to create a really different paradigm, to really, really shift consciousness and to really change the direction the ship of state is sailing. And I think we're being offered the choice to do so. I really do. And I don't think it's even something that you have to think about, folks, because we do have to change the direction that we're going. You've got to understand, folks, you've got psychopaths that are running this planet. They're running it into the ground. And there's all these people that are speaking out against it, but there's so many people who have a vested interest in maintaining the fight because it has become their lifestyle. It's become the meaning of their life. And there's very few people that are actually offering solutions to the problem, or at least dialogue that will lead to solutions. And honestly, folks, the only solution is for people to understand who and what they are and to understand that this is a fictional system. That's the only solution that there is. It has to come from the people. I mean, we could rein this whole system in and turn the planet into a garden. We could go back to a Vedic culture. That's what we need to do. Go back to a Vedic way of living, back to where we each have domains where we live. That's what we need. But you can't do it without addressing this system. And that's why there's no good addressing things individually. There's no good going and building alternate societies. There's no good going addressing the environmental issues or addressing the coal seam gas mining. What you've got to do is understand that all of these problems come from the actions of politicians. The politicians are simply public trustees who are out of control because we don't know who we are. Once we address that problem, all of the other problems beneath it collapse by default. But while we still maintain these little individual groups addressing these individual symptoms using the parameters that are given to us by the system, then we're never going to achieve anything because it's a compartmentalized response to a singular problem. The problem is the corrupt psychopathic system itself, which is maintained because of our inaction. And our inability to really step back and see, generally, as a whole, the society just doesn't step back and see what the actual problem is. But that is what it is, folks. And that's why we have to address it. Because once we address that, like I said, everything below it collapses by default. You're never going to fix coal seam gas mining by going and staging protests at gas wells. You're not going to do it. The only way you're going to fix it is to address the corrupt public trustees that are running the Australian government and get these people to step down, take them to an international tribunal if we have to. Whatever. Whatever it takes to get these psychopaths out of power. That's what we should do. But it's not going to happen until we empower ourselves. That's not going to happen until we discover who we are. I mean, I keep coming back to the same thing, folks. I know, but I just think it's about time people started to really grasp this and really started to act and really started to empower the people around them and really started to make ripples in their community, because the politicians are just going hell for leather to the finishing gate. They're doing everything they can to lock this society down, and unfortunately our police are so corrupt that they're just all going along with it. You know, the police have changed very much over the last couple of decades. Now we have a lot of very, very brutal, very corrupt people within our police force. That's unfortunately what we have. We have people who are so programmed that they are absolutely enslaved to this corporate commercial system, and they're just going out of their way to inflict it upon everybody that they possibly can and extract as much wealth out of the population as possible and just lock human society down. That's what they're doing. And we need to pay attention, folks, because the only ones who can fix it are us. And, well, that was a bit of a rant, I suppose, but I just think people need to pay attention. But look, over the last 6 years, I've really, really made a conscious attempt to keep these shows empowering. I've made a conscious attempt to address a lot of the problems that other people are talking about, but to look at them from a different perspective and to view them as opportunities, because that's really the way I see all problems, folks. I see them as opportunities. And That's why I've gone through things so many times and gone over and over the same topic so many times, because I believe that we can fix the problem once we discover ourselves, folks, once we really see things for what they are. And it's important to realize just how much of what we're facing is fiction, and indeed, a lot of what we believe is there as the control mechanism is also fiction. You know, like I've often been saying lately, we give these people too much credit. Don't give them so much credit, because we have all the power should we choose to exercise it. You know, this whole system was created by people just like you. Well, maybe not just like you, because you're probably not a psychopath. But biologically, they're just like you. They're no different to anybody else, and we give them far too much credit, because all of the power does lie with the people, should they choose to exercise it. I can't repeat that enough. I really want people to understand this. People need to understand it, because it's true. And I do want people to really comprehend this, because that is where the solution lies. You know, we can manifest anything we want, folks, and if we believe these people have all the power that so many people claim they have, then we have the ability to give them that power. But we don't have to. We can discover ourselves. Like I said earlier in the show, you are unique. You are a unique sentient expression of creation. There is nobody like you. You do not have any peers. You cannot be judged by the laws of your peers. And if you live your life serving natural law, God's law, the highest authority that there is, whatever you perceive that authority to be, then you can step above the system. You do have the ability to step into your own power simply through a simple process of self-discovery. But it's self-discovery, folks. I can't show you the way there, and you won't find the way there in a book by somebody else. All you get is their perspective. You may find help, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying don't read philosophical books by other people. Sure, go and read them. Get all the information that you can. But realize that all of the power to exercise the information that you're finding and to put it into practice lies with you. It all lies within yourself. Everything that we need is within ourselves. We're not going to find the answer from an external source. And that's what the legal system is. It's an external source. It's a fictional external thing. It only exists on paper. There is only one law. That law is do no harm. That's it. That's all you need to do. That's the way you need to live your life. If everybody lived their life in that way, then the world would be a very, very different place. And we have the ability to do that, and that's what this time in history is. This time in history is an opportunity for us to put this into practice. And that's why we are seeing such a huge awakening on the planet today. And it really is an honor to be part of it. It's such an honor to have you listen to the shows the way you do. It's really wonderful to be able to get the message out to people. But do pay attention, folks, and do see the beauty around you. Don't allow the ugliness to flourish. This is a beautiful planet, and mankind is a beautiful species with so much potential, and we can change things. We just have to believe in ourselves. And that's the message, folks. And look, I know it's the same message virtually that I've been giving to you for the last 6 years, but, well, that's the message, and that's how we can fix things. But I'm going to have to leave it there, folks, because it looks like we are completely out of time now. Thank you for spending this time with me today. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you for continuing to listen to the show. Thank you for the support that you've shown me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the things that I always thank you for. And thank you for allowing me the honor of coming and talking to you every week. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.